Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome. It's Jakaysha. I'm sitting in for Henrietta and Glenn. That's quite hard to do, to fill those shoes. That's really something. But welcome to the International Black Summit Talk Show. Welcome, welcome. Happy to have you here. We're going to have a great show. And we're going to have a Catherine Thomas from Lee Summit, Missouri on. And she's going to be on what I call Doctor Call. Well, I'm a doctor on a call. Doctor on a call, and also many doctors on the call. And that's a play on people who have their PhD. So we're going to talk about that in, when she calls in. And I want to go and just open our show like we normally do. We want to open it with the declaration of the International Black Summit. It's if you're on our website, blacksummit.org, you'll see it there. You can have the drop screen drop down, and I'm going to share it with you now. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibilities and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, altering the conversation of who, we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. And today, the month of August, I'm not that sure about our date here, but in the year of 2013, on a Sunday, we say above, below, we say in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west, above, below, and within. Let's have a moment of silence, giving acknowledgement and memory to participants of the summit who've passed away over the years. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. Okay, I'm back with you. This is Jakaysha. I'm the world citizen. That's my self-proclaimed declaration. I live inside of the International Black Summit Declaration, and I'm transforming myself. I'm in the state of transformation and just always looking to see what's next. And for right now, I'm in the state of California in the beautiful city of San Diego. And you're listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show. And it's also a call-in where you can call in and interact. The phone number is 646-716-9827. And so that's the number you can call in and ask questions of me and of our guests. Hoping to have Catherine Thomas on from Lee Summit, Missouri. And hopefully, I see she's just checked in. I'm going to say hello. Hello, Catherine. Hello? Okay, I have 718-371-8931.
Hello, good evening. Hello. How are you?
Okay, who's on the line?
This is Carol.
Hi, Carol. Okay, is Carolyn from New Orleans?
Pardon me?
Are you from New Orleans?
No, I'm from New York.
From New York.
Yeah. Who am I talking to?
This is Tricacia. I'm subbing for Henrietta and Glenn. So happy to have you on listening to us.
Okay. I spoke to you sometime back, many years, a couple of years ago, I think.
Okay.
I'm listening to Henrietta.
Okay. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yes.
Happy to have you here. Just settle in.
Pardon me?
I said just settle in. Happy to have you on the call.
I'm just a listener. I only listen.
Well, thank you. Listening is very important, so thank you for being there. So
you're welcome.
With you. Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'm going to continue.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. So as I was saying, Catherine should be calling in. We're happy to have Carolyn on. She's a listener. She calls in and listens, and that's very important. So we want to say hello to all of our listeners out there. And I wanted to share some more things in opening the show. I wanted to share some of the questions. And the purpose, first of all, I want to go to the purpose of the International Black Summit. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. So just, you know, kind of find yourself inside of that purpose. Think about your vision. Think about the vision that you have for the black community and for the world. And inside of that vision, I'm hoping and I know you can find yourself. And I thank you for having that vision, because inside of that vision, I get to live my vision and I get to live my life. I wanted to share some more. We have the Youth Summit purpose. And the Youth Summit purpose says, we exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We are young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principles of youth transformation, love, and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. Whoa, that is deep. I'm going to just read that one more time. And our youth are just powerful. They say, we exist to facilitate the connection, self-expression, and empowerment of young people of African descent around the world. We are young people making our visions real in our communities and exemplifying the principles of youth, transformation, love, and possibility as a powerful approach to the universe. And we also launched this year in Canada. We just completed our annual event in Canada in the month of August, August 1st through for 3 days there in Ottawa, Canada. And I was there. I'm happy to say I've been to many, many of our summits. I think I've missed maybe three summits. One was due to the fact that my mother passed away, and I wasn't able to go to London, and I missed going to Jamaica the second time. And maybe that was, maybe those were the only two since I started in 1993 in Oakland, California. So what happened in Ottawa, one of the things I like to share is we've been talking about something called the young adult clearing, and that's age 18 through 35. When we were in Nairobi, and it also came up again when we were in Ghana in Africa, this whole concept of adulthood may not start at 18 as we hold it here in the United States. And because, as the title says, the International Black Summit, we've been traveling the world, and through our world travel, especially in Africa, we got to see that how people hold the idea of adult and a youth. And they actually identified the ages of 18 to 35 as being a clearing or a space for still youth. And we call that the young adult. And this year in Canada, we actually launched that celebration, that recognition, that experience, that clearing. And this is their purpose, young adult purpose, to provide an opportunity for participants ages 18 to 35, a space for reflection, communication, mentorship, and growth through vision, creation, and implementation. This conversation empowers young adults to powerfully transition to adulthood, equipped for global success. Wow, how about that, Carolyn? What did they say? Equipped for global success. Fantastic. So those are some of the things. I wanted to also direct you to our website, blacksummit.org. Just type that in, and you'll come to our website. And one of the things about our website is you're able to create a page, kind of similar to like on Facebook, you know, without a lot of the drama of Facebook. You're able to create a page and actually communicate with other people that have communicated pages. So I want to invite Carol, if she's had an opportunity to go to our website and make her page. If she hasn't, I invite her to do that. And all of our guests that are, you know, listening to us this evening, is to actually go on and make a page and actually just reach out to other people and let them know you're open to communicating with them and for us to get to know each other and continue to expand the conversation of the International Black Summit. And, I'm just going to take it easy. I'm looking here for Catherine to call in. I might have to step away and give her a call. She might not have gotten the numbers correct for calling yet. We'll just hang on for a while, give her some more time. The other thing I wanted to talk about was wanted to say some more things about the summit, and also wanted to share our new question. As many of the listeners have realized, is each year out of the summit, we actually come up with a question about what's going on for ourselves, within ourselves, about ourselves, and about our community. And I'm going to share what the new question is. And I, in fact, thought I had it written down here, and I do know I have it inside of my phone, so I'll switch over to that. But just want you to know you can hear us every Sunday here at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have our website. On the website, you can actually go on the event page, especially if you're a summit member, and let us know about what's happening in your community around the summit. I know tonight we have an enrollment call. So if you're a person who's attended at least one summit, that's a good place to participate. Because remember earlier we talked about providing you an opportunity to bring into being your vision for the Black community and the world. And once you've attended one summit, you're literally inside of participating, and it's different ways to participate. One way is by listening to the radio show and sharing it with others, and you're able to call in to the radio show and ask a question or leave a comment, or just as Carolyn, I'm not sure, I think it's Carol. As Carol said, she likes to call and listen, and that's very important, and I hope she's sharing it with other people in her community and, with her family, and let them know that they can call in. The other thing, like I said, you can put things on the event page that you know that's happening concerning the summit. And would like to say that the 24th annual event will be in Belize. Belize is in Central America. I'm in San Diego. So literally, I could drive from San Diego to Belize. I mean, I didn't know I could do that until I started wanting to go to Belize. And that was many years ago before we actually was even planning to go to Belize. We were in New Orleans, and while I was in New Orleans, I had already decided in 1994 that I wanted to go to Belize. Now, I just picked it out of my mind. I've been to Jamaica, and I really love Jamaica. And I thought Belize would be very similar to Jamaica. And so I said, yeah, I want to go to Belize. And make a long story short, I was in New Orleans. In 1994, we went there to be that was the first time we were there. And then we went back again. Let me see if I can see our actual date of when we returned again. I'm looking at our brochure. I don't see the actual date right in this moment. Seems like we were there in 1994. I was there. And then we attended again. Let's see, Toronto, Memphis, Philadelphia, Jamaica, Atlanta, South Africa, and I'm still seeing Nairobi. I'll get the right date. But while we were there, it was right after, there we go, now it's coming to mind. It was 2007, right after Hurricane Katrina. Because of what was happening around Hurricane Katrina, we actually took on going to New Orleans, and there was something called Project Dignity. And in Project Dignity, we went there, and they created, since we were coming to New Orleans, why didn't we come 3 days early or stay 3 days later and be of service in New Orleans. And many of us took that on, including myself. And while there, while being of service, something happened for me. And, you know, I think that's one of the things they say, when you give to others, you receive. And sometimes it seems as though you receive more. And that, for me, is what actually happened. I met a young lady from Belize, and she actually invited me to come and stay with her and her family in Belize. We met in New Orleans. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. But she extended that welcome, and I actually took her up on it. And we're still good friends, and we're in communication now because we are coming to Belize, and just beautiful. And those are the kinds of connections that you make when you participate in the summit. You make lifetime friends. And so, you know, those are the things that I continue to look forward to. In fact, my daughter is in Africa now. She's in Senegal. She's marrying a young man from Senegal. But while she's there in Senegal, she's reconnecting with a friend that she met in the summit named Falami, who's the daughter of Orin Saunders. And they're rekindling their friendship and having time together. So even the young people make friends that continue on for years and years, because when those two ladies met, they were like 15, 16 years old, and now they're in their early 30s. And so those are the kinds of friendships that occur, lifetime friendships. And I've made lifetime friendships with many, many, many people in the summit. And Henrietta, as Carol knows, Carol was saying to me, she's a friend of Henrietta's. And, you know, I've known Henrietta since I've been coming to the summit, you know, and she's a very close friend of mine now. So just really happy that you're here. You can call in to area code 646-716-9827. And Henrietta and Glenn are on vacation. They're going to be on vacation for the next 2 weeks. Well, 3 weeks. I'll be subbing for them for these 3 weeks. And one of our goals was to have a conversation with, have doctors on call, And what that was going to be about is having people who have their doctorate degrees to call in and speak to us about that and share with us how they went about obtaining their degrees, what they had to go through, what they learned from it, what they got out of that journey of, you know, putting themselves in a doctorate program. And in speaking with Henrietta, when we were at the annual summit event, we realized on the phone call is people were coming in virtually. So even if you weren't able to be in Ottawa, Canada, you could actually be there via the computer and actually call in and attend the summit. And while they were on the calls connecting people into the summit that were not on site, they realized there was at least 5 to 7 people on the phone that were in the summit that had their doctorates. And I'm just going to run through some of the names. Some of the names you may know, some of them you may not. But one person was Darcell, Reverend Darcell. Besides being a doctorate person, you know, Dr. Darcell, she's also a minister, and she's also worked a singer. She has a album and music out on YouTube. She did a beautiful song in Los Angeles that, you know, you should take a look at. I don't have all the information on this call, but I promise you next week I'll have the name of that, of her CD, so you can, you know, have a chance to listen at it. Another person is Dr. Claudie. He's out of Chicago, and I know his doctorate is in education. And then you have Pottaway, which is the daughter of Alisa Strong out of New Orleans. Young lady, once again, I met her when she was in, you know, like 15, 16, and now young lady, she's a principal, she's received her doctorate. Also, we have, oh, let me see, Sherry and Melvin Allen, and they're from California, and they're actually completing, this is probably their last year of their, you know, doing their coursework and dissertation, and they'll be receiving their doctorate, so very excited for them. The person who is going to be on today and still hasn't called in yet is Catherine Thomas, and she's from Lee Summit, Missouri, and I know her doctorate is in divinity, so she's a minister. Also, another person is Julian. He's from Lee Summit. I was hoping they both would be on the call tonight. And let's see, some more people I said, Sherry and Melvin. I told you about Catherine. I talked about Claudie. I talked about Padua from New Orleans. And I talked about someone else in Claudie out of Chicago. So that's 5, 6. The other ones will come up as we're talking. But a lot of doctorates in the summit. And some of the things I was going to be asking them tonight is, which part of the declaration does your doctorate embrace? And then asking them to tell us about the journey that they took when they decided to do their doctorate. And as I'm asking those questions of them, I'm actually asking you and myself about the doctorate, the PhD that we've thought about pursuing, one that we would do if we didn't think it was so impossible. I remember back as I was starting junior college, I graduated from Cal State University of Los Angeles here in California in 1973, whoa, long time ago. But when I was starting my junior college work in Compton, California, my first husband said to me, what do you want to do? And I wanted to be an anthropologist. And I remember him saying, well, you need to have a PhD to make money in that. And in the moment he said that, it was the moment it flew out the window for me, because I could just never see myself as having a PhD. You know, I mean, I learned about what a PhD was as early as elementary school, because I remember my principal came on the PA system one day and said that we were not to refer to him as Mr. Strickland, but as Dr. Strickland, because he had his PhD. And it was, you know, a doctor of philosophy. I still remember, you know, as if I was listening to that PA announcement right now. But I was a child from Compton, California. I was to be the first college graduate in my family. So I, you know, I just couldn't see a PhD, you know. It's still hard for me to see it, but I really get it's not impossible. And, you know, I would love for people to call in and share, like, If you knew you could do a PhD, what would you do your PhD in? What would you have your doctorate be in? You know, like, isn't that a great thought to have about yourself? You know, what would I be a doctor in? You know, what if I pursued that? You know, I'm in my 60s. I'm 62 years old. And it's like I can start my doctorate work. Now the next person just came up for me. Who's the person that I hadn't remembered that was doing their doctorate? She's in her last stages of doing her doctorate work, and that's Lorraine Warren, because her and I had talked about this conversation. You know, as she's doing her doctorate work, it takes a lot of work. I actually went on Google and kind of looked around to see how long does it take to get a doctorate. And, you know, some of the numbers that popped up was 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. And they said it's probably more like 4 years. You might do it in three, but 3 years was still a myth. You know, think about what people have to do, who people have to be to actually give 4 years of their life to complete a work of academic study to receive a doctorate. You know, like who are those people? You know, are they so different from us? Like, what's the thing that had them say, yes, I'll take this on? And, like, what is it that has us, when I say us, including me, not take it on? And to realize it's still all possible, and that was the point I was making. I'm 62 years old, and I know it's possible. I know it's far more possible now than it was back when I was, like, 18 years old, you know. I've grown, and I have a better understanding of myself to know it's possible. Now, you know, am I willing to live into that possibility? You know, that's another thing. And I wanted to take this time and send out to Lorraine, to Sherry, to Melvin, to Claudie, to Catherine, to Julian, and just really acknowledge them. Acknowledge who they've had themselves be to become and take on this work of becoming a doctorate. You know, just some awesome people. I totally acknowledge you. I bow in your presence, you know, and I thank you. Because you just make it more real for me that, you know, it's possible for me to do the same thing if I'm willing to take that on. And, you know, I get it's not going to be easy, but because you have done it, I know it's possible for me to do it. So I just wanted to really say that to all of them and to those who are listening, who's thinking about it. If they did it, that means you can do it too. So, you know, some things that are coming up with the International Black Summit is in October we'll have our first body meeting. It'll be October the 4th. And once again, it'll be in Ottawa, Canada. Now, once again, in this conversation of what's possible, you would be surprised how possible it is to be in Canada. First of all, it's not that far. Literally, if you live on the East Coast, I mean, it's so doable and affordable, you'd be surprised. I have a cousin who's 9 years old, and he's in a family of one sister and one brother, and he shared with me about 2 years ago. He said, we've traveled a lot. He said, but I've never been out of the country. He says, my brothers and sisters have been out of the country. He said, but I've never been out of the country. And so I told him then, you know what? I'm going to take you out of the country. And this year, in May, I actually went to Baltimore. He lived in Baltimore, Maryland. And on a Friday night, we got on a mega bus at 9:30 at night out of Baltimore and headed to Canada. By 10:30 the next morning, we were crossing the border into Toronto, Canada. I actually purchased the ticket for him and myself. We spent all day in Canada. We got on one of those 24-hour types of bus where you can get on and off and see different sites throughout Canada. So we did that most of the day. And then we did a 45-minute cruise, you know, like up some waterway right now. I don't know what water we were cruising on, but it was a 45-minute cruise, and then we got back on the 24-hour hop-on, hop-off bus, and got back into the Greyhound bus station, and the mega bus drives leaves from that Greyhound station. We got back on that, and we were back into Maryland in enough time to go to 11 o'clock Sunday service. So, and I know for two tickets, I didn't spend round trip. I didn't spend more than, I know it wasn't even more than $200 for him and I. So the mega bus is one way to do it. Another way to do it is Amtrak. I've taken Amtrak into Canada, and you can do a lot of traveling on the Canadian train and see a lot of Canada. And you'll go into Toronto, and Ottawa is 2 hours west of Toronto. And one of the things is, if you know Summit people, there's a possibility of somebody will help you have a place to stay. Now, I can't say who, but it's all it is a request. I'm a graduate of Landmark Education, and when I was doing their coursework, one of the things they said to us was about making a request. And anybody that knows Tricatia will make a request in a heartbeat, because all anybody can say to a request is one of three things: yes, no, or maybe so. They'll give you a counter. You might say, I want to come and stay with you for 3 days. And they might say, well, not able to have you stay 3 days, but you could stay 1 day. So all there is to make a request. We had, when we were there for the annual event, we stayed at a hotel that was $99 a night. So if you have somebody else go with you, you're splitting, you know, $99, you know, in a half. So that's like $50 a night. And I know some people got a suite for like $130 and was able to sleep at least 3 to 4 people. And so they split that 4 different ways. So it's doable. Hey, It's a great possibility to take on between now and October to take you a trip to Canada. That's one of the reasons why I actually joined the International Black Summit, was because of the title, International Black Summit. I said, well, those people will be going places. And I said, you know what? I want to go too. So I joined them, and I'm going to just share with you some of the places we've gone and the year that we went and some of our questions and declarations we got out of traveling to those places and being with the people there. Because one of the things we like to say is the International Black Summit doesn't give you anything. We're not bringing something. It's not that you're needy, that you need something. Everybody's whole and complete. Remember the line, the beginning of the declaration of the International Black Summit. It says, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. So let me just share with you some of our places. I'm going to go from 1991 all the way to 2013. So in 1991, we were in Atlanta, Georgia. And the question that came out of that is, who am I in relationship to the black community? What is it to be black? In 1992, we were in Highland Park, Michigan. And the question was, what must I transform within myself in order to transform the world? In 1993, that's when I did my first International Black Summit. It was in Oakland, California. And the question was, who or what must I be in order to transform the black community and the world? In 1994, we were in New Orleans, Louisiana. What is my relationship to grace in regards to acknowledgement, abundance, wealth, and well-being? I'm going to come back to that. I want to kind of touch on that again. In 1995, New York. That was one of the largest summits that I've attended, and I think the largest one that we've had. We had over 500 people there. And that was the first summit that I took my children to. In fact, we got on a Greyhound bus from Compton, California, and took it all the way to New York. That's a four-day ride. And the question was, who am I in relationship to being life as transition? 1996, Nairobi, Kenya. What is it to just be? 1997, this is a mouthful. We were in Johannesburg, South Africa. Given that, noticing your trigger, but let me read that again. Given that noticing your trigger provides you access to some aspect of yourself you have been unable or unwilling to be with, standing there, what access does your trigger provide you for the fulfillment of the purpose of the International Black Summit? Long question. But that whole thing about trigger is one of the distinctions that we talk about. And that's another place I'm pointing to. We're going to come back and talk about trigger. 1998, Atlanta, Georgia again. Who am I being in the world that I created from my vision? So there we are talking about the vision again. Next we have 1999, Jamaica, West Indies. What are the possibilities available from editing the script I've written for my life? Ooh, that sounds like a Spike Lee type of question, huh? But what is the script I've written for my life? In 2000, we were in the City of Love, Brotherly Love, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Who am I being as the conscious creator of my life and community? Then we're at 2001, Memphis, Tennessee, my mother's hometown, and where my daughter is living now with my 17-year-old grandson. And it's what is available by consciously owning all I create. Remember we were talking about that, being the conscious creator? Okay, about you writing a script for your life. All of that, we're looking at all of that in 2001. In 2002, we were in Canada, our first time going to Canada. We were in Toronto, Canada. And the question was, what is available in noticing all that I create that keeps me unconscious to the wonder I am? Oh, wow. 2003, Brazil. Salvador de Bahia, Brazil. And then we had a declaration. And the declaration was, I am completing on who I know myself to be. I declare that. It's like we were totally out of question and into declaration. Okay. Our next question or declaration. As we go into Ghana, I am complete on who I know myself to be. I declare I am enough. And then we went to three places that year. Three places. We went to Miami, Florida, Chicago, Illinois, Top Hill, Jamaica, British West Indies. Three places. Now, in that one, I remember I actually went to Chicago and I went to Miami, Florida. I was working on going to Jamaica, but I missed that Jamaica trip. Okay, let's go on. And we're back at Highland Park again. I am my vision fulfilled. In 2007, we're back in New Orleans. And as I am present to blank. In this moment, like, what are you present to? And then in 2008, we were in Anguilla, British West Indies. What aspect of myself am I listening to when I am present to? 2009, London, England. That was the year my mother passed away. I didn't make it to London, but I did participate. Via the computer. So I was there virtually. And the question was, I am the source of my vision. And then we went to Baltimore, Maryland, 2010. Be with what is. 2011, Chicago, Illinois. What is available in life when I be with what is? What is the gift? And then 2012, Birmingham, Alabama. What is available when I notice my trigger? Be with what is and trust that it provides me access to my vision fulfilled. And then we came, that brought us to Ottawa, Canada, and our new question. And I'm going to look right here and actually find one of our emails that have our question in it and read that to you. It's always interesting what comes up. Our question for this year is, what do my triggers reveal that provides me access to alignment with my authentic self? Am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? And that question is the question that we're going to live in for this year up until we get to belief. So we'll be looking at this question. We'll be asking ourselves. And you see the word trigger here again. And trigger, you heard that the first time in 1997, Johannesburg, South Africa. And trigger is what we call one of our distinctions. And here it really expressed how to look at a trigger, one way to be with a trigger. And it says here, I'm going to read it again, given that noticing your trigger provides you access to some aspect of yourself you have been unable or unwilling to be with, standing there what access does your trigger provide you for the fulfillment of the purpose of the International Black Summit? So with that in mind, I'll say a little bit more about trigger. Trigger is a distinction. And you kind of think of trigger just like first thing that comes to mind is on a gun. There's a trigger on that. And you know, once you pull that trigger, you can't take that bullet back. It's shot out there. It's gone to do whatever it's going to do. And trigger, we've described it, like, you know how people say people are just pressing my buttons. You know, they know what button to press. And, you know, and I'm going to just go off. It's not my fault. Somebody else touched that button. And, you know, that's why I'm all upset. And they should have never touched the button. But we actually ask people and ask ourselves, you're already walking around with that trigger. You know, it's like you're really saying, here's my trigger. You bet not touch it. Go ahead, touch it. Bet not touch it. Go ahead, touch it. So it's not like somebody else did something, but that what's there is something already within you that's sensitive, that's just waiting to be touched, that, you know, it's sticking out like almost like a thorn, and you're just, life is just coming into contact with it. Life didn't put the trigger there. Life didn't put the thorn there. You already had it. And, like, what is that thorn about? Like, what is it that you're unwilling to be with about yourself? And so one way the trigger is can be negative, and a trigger can be something good, too. A trigger can be like, I remember at like 7 years old, I lived in Chicago, Illinois. I was born there. In the wintertime, when I would come home in the evening, at least 2 times a week, my mother would have stew cooking. So when I would walk in the house, I would smell that stew, and it would feel so good. I just feel like, oh, my mom loves me. She's not going to let anything happen to me. She's providing me warmth for coming outside of the cold. So anytime I smell that stew, that safety, that love comes back to me. It reminds me about that. So, you know, that's the distinction trigger. And you can see we've been working with that in 1997. And we're looking at it again we looked at it in 2012. And we're actually looking at it again. And the question is, what do my triggers, more than one, you got more than one trigger. What do my triggers reveal that provide me access to alignment with my authentic self? Am I aligned with my authentic self and with my vision? So you see the word alignment. Alignment is another distinction we have. And alignment very much has to do with when you think about the alignment of your spine. We know what happens, especially as people become older, and that alignment gets out of whack. We see people literally walking down the street, looking at the ground, you know, having great difficulty in being in an upright position, that they literally have to walk looking at their feet and just lifting up their head because their body's out of alignment. So having alignment, we know, is important. I know people talk about a lot of pain in their back because they're out of alignment. So in a way, our question kind of points to that when it looks at what do my triggers reveal and do they provide access to alignment with my authentic self? So we're coming up on the last few minutes. Just really want to ask you and thank you for being with us tonight.
and ask you to be back, share with other friends. I know you miss Henrietta and Glenn, but I'm happy to be here with you. I don't know what happened with our caller tonight. Wasn't able to get her on. I'm going to look and see if I can even two-way her in. I'm looking at this great phone that I have. And, you know, you figure you should be able to do all these things with it. And then in this moment, I don't know how to bring her on. She didn't call in, but hopefully she'll be with us next week, and we'll be able to have a doctor in the house and have other people on that are doctorates. So just want to remind you again that you can go to our website, blacksummit.org, and you can find us on Facebook. You'll find a youth page, and you'll find a page for the summit. You can leave comments there. You can greet and meet each other on our Facebook. We have a Twitter account. We also have our own blacksummit.org website where you can actually go on and sign up and create a page for yourself, and we can communicate with you. I can tell you, in fact, if you actually you know, leave something there, I'll find it. And we're close to the end